started about Shomer Sachar. And the idea of Shomer Sachar is he's getting paid to watch the object. And because of that, he's not only chayiv for negligence, he's also chayiv for geneva v'aveda, theft and loss to aveda. And we discovered last week that there's a shayla how far that geneva goes. It could even be even if the geneva was unavoidable. He had it locked in a safe, and someone came and untunneled underneath and got it. He could even be liable for that, because the gzeiras kasev, he's chayiv for a geneva. There's an interesting shayla I saw in a couple places, and that's what we'll talk about tonight. What happens if he didn't do the job? Someone gave me an example. You know, it's hard to find a case where there's a real shomer sachar nowadays. It'd be simple. Can you watch my dog for me? And the person says, no, I don't want to, so hey, I'll give you $100. That makes him into a shomer sachar. Or someone else gave me another case that if you go to a convention, they have people that wash your coat. Not like that. You go to a chasana, you just stick it over in the room, but they have a real thing that they put it behind, and they lock it up, and they watch it, and you're paying them to watch your code, whatever valuables you have.
Parking lot operator.
I'm not sure about that there. I think you're paying them to just throw your car there. And in the parking lot, they say, we're not responsible for the valuables in your car. It's mashma, how about the car? I don't think it means that they're responsible for the car. I think they just don't want to put the sign up, we're not responsible for your car, because then no one will ever park there, because they'll think, what are you putting, you're not responsible for my car. I think in a parking lot, you're just paying for they're renting their stock, but you're not paying them to guard it. But in this certain type of coat check, there you're paying them to watch it. Or your neighbor, you say, or you tell someone, can you take this to my son in Eretz Yisrael, and instead of doing it as a favor, like we talked about, as a Sharma Chinam, he said, here's $100, I know it's tough for you, it's an extra suitcase, I'm going to pay you to do that. So whatever case it was, what happened if the Shomer Sachar, let's say the case of the dog, watch the dog, and here's $100, please watch it for the next few days, and the Shomer Sachar failed to watch the dog, he left it outside, but some nace happened and it didn't run away, and the owner came back, and he said, here's your dog. Or the owner drives back and sees his dog running around the neighborhood, and he puts it into his car and takes it home. So is the Shomer Sachar? So the Shomer Sachar is not chayiv because nothing happened. It's not chayiv because the dog is safe. The coat is safe, right? The people watching the coats decided they wanted to go take a walk. They unlocked the door and they put a sign up: "Please, self-service, take your own coat." And you walk by and you see that your coat's unguarded, so you take your coat. So they're not chayiv for a geneva of aveda because it wasn't stolen. But can you say, I don't want to pay you? Right? I don't want to pay you because I paid you to watch my coat. I paid you to watch my dog. I paid you to watch whatever I paid you to watch, and you didn't watch it. So what? Nothing happened to it. But you didn't do the job. Right? So that's tonight's issue. We'll have a few other issues beforehand, but what we want to end up is to discuss what we think will happen in such a case. Do you have a claim that I don't want to give you the money? You didn't do the job. That's going to be the question. Why are you paying a shomer? So are you paying him for working, for the tircha that he puts out, the effort, or are you paying him for his insurance? Because it's like paying an insurance policy. Okay, so To start to get in this direction, we have to start with a third shayla, and that is, can a shomer quit in the middle of the day? Right? If you hire a shomer sachar, I'd like you to watch my coat for the day or my dog for the week, whatever these different cases we said. Can the shomer sachar call you up and say, I'm sorry, I'm quitting. I decided I don't want to do this anymore. See from the Gemara, let's see what the Rishonim say, and then we'll say our svaras. Right, the Gemara Kedushin talks about a case where someone gave a woman money to watch, and then he said, "Harei hamukadeshes li with the money that I asked that I gave you to watch," and she kept it. She didn't say anything. So Gemara says over there, she's not married, because we say she didn't have gemiras da. She didn't really want to accept that as money for kedushin. So why didn't she just give it back? So Gemara says, "Hasan b'tarski kadin yavinu niyala." Over there, since he gave it to her as a pikadon, so she's responsible for it. So even though she doesn't want to marry him, she still wants to hold it because she's responsible as a shomer. She's a shomer. Because Sava, she figures, Isha Dina Lilo Misri, if I just throw it in and say, I don't want your marriage, and she throws it back at him and it breaks, Michayadu, I'm going to be fired. Because I'm a shomer. I don't want to get it messed up. Something that's locked up that she drops it and breaks, or she leaves it in a place where it gets broken. But she has responsibility as a shomer. So that's why she doesn't want to just give it back to him. So the Rishonim asked the Kasha, I have on the other side of the handout. The Rishonim asked the Kasha, what's the problem? Let her just say, I don't want to be a shomer anymore. Here is your thing back. But why didn't she just say, look, you gave this thing to watch. I'm giving it back to you. I don't want to get married to you, and here is your pikadon back. There shouldn't be any mistakes. I'm not holding it. I'm giving it back to you. This is... Let her do that. Say, HaReisha Chalif Anacha. So the Raivad answers, we're talking where she had committed herself to wash the pikadon for a certain amount of time. She had committed herself to wash it for a week. So therefore, she is not allowed to quit in the middle. She can't put it back. She would be responsible for it. She can't quit because she's not allowed to quit, because she accepted upon herself that she was going to wash it for a certain amount of time. That's what the Raivad says. The Rashba brings it, the others trying to bring it. The Rashba disagrees. And he says, like the Victor said, that there's a halacha that a po has a lot of quit in the middle of the day. If you're working for someone as a poel, not as a kavlan, you're working as someone getting paid, that you're committed to work a certain amount of hours, no one can force you to have to work those hours. You can quit in the middle of the job. Unless it will cause a loss. So, we spoke about that in the past. But in general, you're allowed to quit in the middle of a job. So the Rashba and the Ritva ask when the Raivad, why are you saying that she couldn't quit in the middle? She could just say, I don't want to be a shomer anymore. Right? His Rashba's lashon, the other shomer chinam, mi poel, is a shomer socher, is a shomer chinam, any better than a poel shechaz v'chatzi ayom that could quit in the middle of the day. So, to machlok is the Rashba and the Raivad, whether you're allowed to quit in the middle. The Shulchan Aruch passes like the Raivad, you can't give it back in the middle. You're committed to be a shomer, and you have to keep that job for the full week for the amount of time that you agreed to do it for. So what's the machlokes about? So the stipler says it, some sofer I have written down, so they say that when you commit yourself to watch someone's article, to be a shomer, there's two things that you've accepted upon yourself. There's two dinim in what you have to do. The first thing is that you are committed to work to watch this article, especially about Shomer Socher, like we learned last week, that you have to watch it day and night. You're hired to have Nitzirusa Yaseir, you have to give a good job at watching it. That's one thing you committed yourself to do when you became a Shomer Socher. The second thing you committed yourself to do was that if anything happens to this article, Geneva or Aveda or Pshia, I'm going to pay for it. It's two things. It's an insurance policy. I'm committing myself to replace this for you, assuming it was not unavoidable. It wasn't an onus. It was Geneva or Aveda or Pshia. And second of all, I'm committing myself to work for you, to watch it. So the Chassam Sofer, the way he understands, the way he explains the Raivad, the Chassam Sofer says like that, and that's the way they paskin. When we say a worker can quit in the middle of the day, that's true. If this shomer wants to quit, if this woman wanted to quit, she would have all the right in the world to quit in the middle of the day and give it back to that man. The only thing is, she also committed herself to be the insurance policy, to be a guarantor for the article for a whole week, whatever the term was. So she is allowed to give it back to the Balabai city owner. But if it will get stolen from that owner's house, she has to pay for it because she took that guarantee. Right? So that's the way he understands it. The Chassam Sofer says that there's, and the Chazon Ish also says it that way, except the Chazon Ish seems to say, he does say that, even though the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Raivad, but we have to hear the Rashba. The Rashba must hold that even though there are these two dinim, but your guarantee, your insurance, only depends on when you are responsible to watch it. If somehow you are able to get out of the responsibility to watch it, so then you don't have to pay insurance policy anymore. Or is it in your second in as a guarantor is linked to your obligation to physically watch it. If for some reason you're not physically obligated to watch it anymore, for example, you're allowed to quit in the middle of the day, so then you wouldn't be responsible for it either if something happened. That's what the Rashba holds. Even though the Shulchan Aruch passes that way, the Chazanish says it's a sfeika d'dina. So if something like that happens, you have a Chazanish on your side, then you're on the other side. But Pashtus is the Shulchan Aruch passing it like the Ravid. If some Sofer explains it, the Ketos explains it, and it seems that most posts can agree that these two dinim in your responsibility to watch an object are not linked to each other. But you have one job, is to actually do the work of watching that object, and that you're allowed to quit on in the middle. You have a second din, that if anything happens to it, you have to pay for it. And even if you might have the right to quit in the middle of the job, because you're a poet is allowed to quit in the middle of the day, but your responsibility, your commitment, your mishabit, your nechasim, to pay for anything that happens to that object, a ganeva or a veda, for the next week, that you can't remove. You committed yourself. You committed for that full week, so it'll be at your risk if you quit in the middle of the job. And so it says, even if you put it in his house, and it was stolen from that person's house, a balavaisa's house, so you're responsible. If he was poshe, yes, and then he says you might not be, because that's already his fault. Okay, so that's the first halacha. From this halacha of quitting in the middle of the day, we've discovered that there are two responsibilities a shomer has, especially a shomer sachar. Some want to say, the machnefayim wants to say, maybe it's only by a shomer sachar, not by a shomer chinam, but we're talking about a shomer sachar. So a shomer sachar for sure has two responsibilities. One responsibility is to work, and the second responsibility is to pay for the article if something happens to it. This we see, that the shomer is responsible for two actions. One is to actively watch the article, and the second is to pay for it, to be an insurance policy if something happens to it. The issue we have to talk about is, when I am paying a shomer sachar, what am I paying him for? Am I paying him for both items? Am I paying him to actively watch it? Or am I paying him just for the insurance policy, even if he doesn't watch it properly, right? That's the issue we have to just talk about now. And that is based on this other Gemara we have on the handout, Bab Nesiya, Tafnun Zayin on a Days. So the Mishnah first said, Ashamachinam, if we're talking about Hektish and Shtaris and Karkos, we saw that Mishnah before, it says Ashamachinam doesn't have to swear for it, Ashamachinam doesn't have to pay for Gneva Vaveda on Hektish. So the Gemara is the Kashav and Braisa, a Mishnah in Shtalim. Correct the Gemara in Minhu, B'nei Ha'ir Sheshochla Shekleyan. Right, the halacha used to be that everyone was chayv to give a machtis of shekel every year. And the minhag was, people in the city would all collect it together and send it with a shliach to take it to the Beis HaMikdash. The halacha was that three times a year in the Beis HaMikdash they would take the coins from the main lishka that they were held in, and they would put it into boxes to be used to purchase karbanas for before the 3 Yom HaTovim. They would make a truma of that lishka and put it in boxes, and that money that was used would be representative of all the people, all the Klal Yisrael, that they are now have a share in the Karbanos Tzibur, the Karbanos that everyone is chayiv. So what happened over here is people, the name Yosha Shochla Shikle, people in the city sent their shekel with a shliach, and they were stolen or lost on the way. So the Mishnah says like this: when were they stolen? If that truma had already been taken out of the lishka's hagazis. And once that happens, we assume, this is the assumption, when they take that truma, they have in mind that it should work for anyone that sent their shekel, whether the shekel's here or whether it got lost on the way. Meaning at that point in time, the people in the city no longer have to give a machzis of shekel. They're part. So if that case, nishbain, ragizbarim, the business that of the shomer, of the shliach, is worth the gizbar, the base of mikdash, because the people are part already. So they have to make a shvua to the gizbar that got it stolen or lost, and then they'll be potter. We'll see. We're talking about a shomer chinam, right? That's why this ring got stolen and they're potter. But if the truma hadn't been taken yet, so that means the people in the city are going to have to pay a new machzis hashekel. So if the money had not been taken out yet, then there's voyin l'nei ha'ir. Then they may have to make a shvua to the people in the city. So the people in the city have to accept that shvua. We see, you must be telling the truth. You made a shvua. You lost it. Okay, so we'll give another shekel. Right, so the Gemara asks, we're dealing with hektish over here. This machzis shekel was hektish, and still the shomer chinam is chayav to make a shvua on it. He's making a shvua on something that's hektish. How can the Mishnah say that the shomer chinam doesn't make a shvua? So the Gemara gives a parrot, Omer Shmuel, Sachraskin, you made a mistake. We're talking about a shomer sachar here. And the truth is, he's going to be chayiv, the Shamas Sarif is going to be chayiv to pay the Pashtus. That's not what we're dealing with here. And he doesn't have to make a shvuah about paying. We'll have to see what exactly he's going to have to do. But why are they making a shvuah? Nishboin mitzvah scharan. The shvuah the Shamer is making over here, the Shamas Sarif is making a shvuah here in order to get paid. They want to make a shvuah that they want to get paid.
No.
Right? They want to make a shvuah to get their pay. They're not making a shvuah to stop themselves from paying. They're making a shvuah to get their pay. That's what they're trying to do. So, Pekti Gemara, how can you say he's talking about Hashem HaSachar? It says, Hanini Rosh HaAvdiktoni, it said, it got stolen or lost. Hashem HaSachar, Beginneva, Raveda Chiyurim Echayiv. So, Hashem HaSachar will be Chayiv for Geneva Raveda. And Hachanayim said, we also need a Shlumi Lamisham, even though they won't get paid, because they won't have to pay, I mean, because it's hektish, they're not responsible for something that's hektish, but Agrayim and Elisiv, they shouldn't receive their pay. How can you say they're making a Shvua in order to get their pay? If it was stolen, they're going to lose their pay, because they were Shomer Socher, they're responsible for Gnei Veda, even though they don't have to pay because of the loophole of hektish, but they certainly can't get paid if they didn't do their job. So in that, Amar Rava, Rava answered, Ningna Rav Elisa Mezuyon, when it says it's stolen, it was really stolen, the onus was Elisa Mezuyon, and Margaret, when it says they lost it, means Shatov Svinos Aleam, but the ship sank, there's nothing they could do, so it's called an onus. So we're talking about Hashem HaSachar, who had something happen, but onus. They don't have to make any shvuah to make themselves potter because it's hektish. The shvuah they're making is a shvuah in order to collect their wages, and Rishonim talk about what type of shvuah this is, a shvuah to get your wage, whether it's a raisit or a bonin, that's a whole issue. But what do we see from this Gemara? The Gemara is clearly saying that if they were a Shomer Sachar and it had been stolen or lost, so it says that they would not be chayiv to pay for the loss, but they will not get their pay. Right? They were paid, given $1,000 to take this $10,000 stolen to Yerushalayim. It got lost, stolen, or lost on the way. So they're not chayiv to pay because it's hektish. They're not chayiv to pay the $10,000. But how about the $1,000 that they got paid to take? So that, the Gemara says, they're not going to get their $1,000 pay either. Right? That's clear in the Gemara. And this is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, that if you're watching Shtaros, and we don't have hektish nowadays, but the same thing happens to a Shtar or to Karka, right, notes or karka that aren't gufo mamon and it got stolen or lost in a way that you're not chayiv because that's excluded from the dinim of shmirah, but you lose your pet. That's b'feyo shahalacha in Shulchan Aruch. What's not so simple is what happens, and this we have on the second side of the hand. That suppose it was something that you were chayiv to pay for. It wasn't a star, it wasn't cocked, it wasn't hectic, it was metatlin, you were watching a dog or a coat or something like that, and it got stolen, right? They said, watch my $200 coat, and I'll give you $10 to watch it. And that $200 coat got stolen, and your Shama Socher, you tried to pay the $200 for the coat. But can you at least deduct the $10 of your pay? So the Ktzos says, the Ktzos says that we learn from this Gemara, there's no difference between hektish, where you're not chayiv to pay, right? Hektish is like you pay. You're not chayiv to pay. It's as if you're not no longer responsible. And still you lose your pay. So same thing will be, he says, in a case where you paid off the chov, but you're not going to get your pay. We see from this Gemara that if you're a Shomer Sachar, and something gets stolen or lost, you lose your pay, right? That's what the Ktzos passes. L'maisa. La'alacha. That if you're watching something, you're a Shomer Sachar, and it got stolen or lost, so then you have to lose your pay also. Besides having to pay for the item, the $200 for the coat, you also lose your $10 pay that you're supposed to get. Right? That's what the Ktzos says. Do you hear a chilek though, to argue with the Ktzos? Okay, so the Cheshik Shlomo on the Dach above the Tia says, your score only a little bit better. He says, what's the difference? if I give back your coat, or I give you back $200. If I gave you back your coat, your $200 coat, you'll give me $10 for washing it. So, look, I gave you back $200. You have cash to buy a new coat. So you have to pay me $10. Okay. Well, let me just say the third sheet, and then we'll discuss what the Machlokes is about. Right, the Chazon Ish goes even further. Right, the Chazon Ish goes over even further. He says that the Gemara is only talking about Hekdesh and Karka. That's where, if you didn't do the job, so then you don't get paid. But Hashomer Sachar, and he says these words, Hashomer Sachar, first of all, he says, Azvara. First of all, he says, Azvara, Hashomer Sachar. What would happen if it hadn't gotten stolen? He would have had his $200 coat back, and he'd have to pay you $10. Now he lost his coat. What would have he had if things had gone right? He would have had $190. He would have had $200 coat minus the $10 he paid you. So certainly the Chazon Ish says you have the right to deduct that money because that's not part of the loss. I saw later I'm going to want to say it's totally in Kechash Gufna, that's a sugya over there in Bamasiya, the Dafyomi. Right, so that's the first thing he says. Right, the loss was the $200 coat, but you were going to have to pay for the wages, so at least I can deduct the wages. But then he says more than that. He says, even if it's a case where you're not going to pay for the coat, for example, he says if the Shomer died, the Yarshim are not chayav to pay for the father's debt unless he left something meshuvah for that. So they're not chayav to pay, but an insult to injury, the person whose coat got stolen is going to have to pay, he's going to have to pay the Yarshim for their father's bad job in washing the coat that got stolen. Why is that? Because he says, the chiyuv to pay a shomer sachar comes from the commitment that the shomer makes to guarantee the return of the coat, the return of the item. That is what the chiyuv of paying a shomer sachar comes from. Like we said in the beginning, a shomer has two responsibilities. He has one, to take care, to put the effort out to watch the item. The second thing a shomer sachar has responsibility is to pay for anything that happens to it. So the Chazon Ish says the pay that you give the Shomer Sachar is linked to his commitment to pay for anything that happens to that coat. So what over here, he happened to die and he's not going to pay it and it got stolen in the meantime, but he committed himself to pay for the pay for the coat if anything happens to it. So because of that, I'm willing to give you money, I'm willing to pay you money. So the Chazon Ish says even stronger than the Chesed. The Chesed Shlomo is saying Svara that there's no difference in returning the coat or returning money, the value of the coat. So that's why I have to pay you. You did your job. The Chazon Ish says you didn't do your job. But what I'm paying Hashem Asacha for is his commitment to guarantee the value of the coat. He did that, and I'm going to give him the money, even if I end up for some reason the Shomer would rather not have this have happened to him.
In
the
case of
Karka
and Starvus,
what
do you say in that case?
There, the Gemara says, "Befevish Karka and Starvus," that you lose it because there. I mean, why is it like that? Because
they're not making a commitment.
Right, because you're not making a commitment. That's why you lose this car. That's why you don't get this car. You get this car if you return it. So then it's a different deal you're making. So we have three shitas in how you look at this Shomer Sachar, right? The Shomer Sachar who did not do a good job. But he was supposed to watch that shouldn't get stolen, and it got stolen. The Ketzos says that we learned in the Gemara in the Bava Metzia that just like when you're watching Hekdesh, even though you're not chayv to pay, but you lose your wages, so that means the Shomer Sachar who has something stolen loses his wages. The Ketzos is looking at it that his pay is based on the job he performs. He didn't perform a good job, he doesn't get paid. It's interesting that the Ketzos was the one who said that there's both didn't, though, because the Ketzos said that you can't quit. You can quit the working part of the job, but you can't quit because of that commitment part. But the Ketzos says the pay you get, right, you have two commitments, but the pay you're getting is from the effort you put into it, from that tircha you put into it, and you didn't do a good job. You put it in a place, like we said last week, you put it in, if you're a Shomer Sachar, you should put it in a place where even a hurricane wind can't knock it down, and you put it in just in a place where a Ruach Metzuyah can't knock it down. you should have put it in extra effort. You didn't do a good job, so the Ksos says, therefore you lose your pay. You didn't do a good job, the Ksos says you're getting paid for your work, the quality of the work that you did. The Cheshek Shlomo, I think, is agreeing with that. I mean, by the way, this is from this Divrei Mishpat, Chelev Ches. I don't think he understands it quite that way. But I think the Cheshek Shlomo is saying, he's agreeing with the Ksos. Your payment is for... No, I'm sorry, I think he's right. Right? You can't, he's not agreeing with the Ksos because you did not do the right job. But your payment is based on the fact that you returned the item. And here where you didn't return the exact item, you returned the value of the item, though. So since you returned the value of the item, you're entitled to your pay. In the case of the Gemara of Mitzia, there was Dafka by Hetish. You weren't returning the item, so you don't get paid. But over here where you're returning the item, or its cash value, it's cash equivalent, so then you do get paid. The Chazanish takes it even further and says, you're not even getting paid just because you returned for returning the item. Your pay is for your commitment to insure it properly. And so he's talking that even further than the Cheshek Shlomo, and that's why he says that the Shomer certainly will be entitled to his pay if it was stolen and or lost. And just to make it a little more palatable, it is like he says in the beginning, that if it had not been stolen, the Baal HaBayis would have lost that amount of money anyway. He would have had to pay him. So he's ending up with the same net value at the end. Right? That's the way it works according to Chazon Ish. Now, what would happen, just before we get to our own Shaila, just quickly, what would happen, the Shach talks about it on the sugi over here, what happens if you're Shomer Sachar, and what happened was an onus? Something unavoidable happened. Where you're going to be potter. Right, so here you can't say anymore, well, I'm going to get my pay anyway because because I don't have to pay anything. It's not... Right? So the Shach, though, says, that's a clear argument that he brings from the Ramagid. Our Gemara said clearly, the Gemara by the Hektush said, that we can't be talking about the neighbor of Veda because he should lose his wages. And for the Gemara, Rabbi said, we're talking about the list in Missouri where it was an onus, and that's why they have a right to their wages. So the Shach says, the Rabbi Magid is right, that you have a clear raya from our Gemara, that if it was an onus, so then he gets his pay. The Nesiva so says, that can only go far to get the pay prorated up to the amount of time that he worked. Right? If he got armed robber in the middle, you know, halfway through, so then he's only going to get half his pay because he didn't work the second half of the job. And then he wants to make a chiluk whether what type of onus it was. He says if it was an onus that happened to the object, the cow died in the middle, so nothing you can do, so then you're going to get your pay at least up to that point. But suppose, like we said last week, if you hold like the Shah who holds that if a geneva happens the onus, you're potter. I suppose he had a heart attack, Chas v'Shalom, or something, he fell asleep. Well, suddenly, something happened, he had sleeping gas, and he fell asleep. And then it got stolen, and he's parted from such an onus, if you hold he's parted from such an onus, like that was my thoughts we had last week. So there he wanted, and then the Nesivus wanted to say, wants to say, that he didn't do the job at all, he didn't give any hanah to the Baal HaBayis, and he shouldn't get paid at all. Because he didn't do anything, like he offered his services, and he fell asleep. Or if the thing happened to the object, so then he's entitled to his pay. I think he's comparing it to a case where someone's hired to tutor a child, so the lachas of the child gets sick, so then he's the employee is entitled to his pay because he's ready to go. If the employee gets sick, so then it could be that he would lose his pay. I mean, it's complicated lachas over there, but he's saying such a chiluk of the sivus. He doesn't quite agree with him, but I really want to get to this last part now. Okay, so that onus was just to complete the issue, but that's nothing to do with our lumdus over here. Back to our shaila. What happens if he did no job at all? Right, he left it on the porch, or the coat people went out for lunch and left it wide open and said, please take your own coat, self-service. Right, what's halacha there? They didn't wash, and you come there and you see that it's not guarded, but it's there, Baruch Hashem. So you took your coat back. So the Divrei Mishpat says, we go through this whole thing again now. He says there's no difference in halacha between it getting stolen and paying for it, or you're not doing anything and getting it back. According to the Ketzos, your pay is for the effort, and that's why if it got stolen, you would lose your pay because you didn't do a good enough effort. So over here, you did no effort, so you're certainly not going to get paid, even though the object is back. according to the Chesed Shlomo, the pay is for the object being returned. Here the object was returned, so you will get the pay. And according to the Chazanis, certainly the pay was for the commitment to guarantee it. And here, if it had got stolen, you would have had to pay him for it. You weren't reneging on the guarantee, you just didn't do your work, that part. So according to the Chazanis, he says, you certainly would have to, would be able to get your wages. Now, he does bring from the Chakal Yitzhak, this Binker, who has a tshuva at the end, the Pnei Maven wrote him, and the Pnei Maven said clearly that if a person doesn't do a job, you don't get paid. And the Pisrei Choshen also, after bringing this whole machlokas, he says, Tzarech Iyun, if you didn't do the job, whether you should get paid, right? Because I think there's a chilek here. There's a chilek. You know, it seems like Divrei Mishpat is right. It should be, these three shittas, there should be no difference between doing a bad job and doing no job. But maybe there is a difference, because, and this I'm, you know, putting up here your opinion on it. I can't say for sure. There could be, if you do a bad job, at least you did a job, so you didn't do it well. But if you did something, you became a worker. You started washing, you put it in the safe, and you forgot to lock it. You didn't lock it, you didn't. But if you didn't do anything, you just left it on the porch, and yeah, he thinks I'm going to take it, if I'm just going to leave it over there because I know it's safe anyway, I'm not going to bother with it. So you did nothing, so there it could be there, they're saying, even according to the Chazon Ish and the Cheshek Shlomo, that your pay is for returning the item, but you have to get the first base. You have to first do something. You have to be a worker who is now, again, who is committing yourself for doing something. If you didn't do anything, it could be that the whole process doesn't start. You didn't do your part of the deal, so a nace happened and it didn't get stolen and you got it back. But it could be that you're still not entitled to pay. At the end of Pesach Choshen says, there's halacha, that if you were hired to water a field and you started watering the field and all of a sudden it started raining and you were able to leave early, so you get paid because, look, it's a min ha-shamayim, you got it. Then he says, yesh l'chali, because there's a difference there. There you were doing the job. It started raining, you're finished. Here you didn't do the job at all. Your job was to watch it, which you did not do. So, Chakal Yitzchak says, for sure, you would not get paid. The Divrei Mishpat says, it's linked to the Shaila. The Pesach Choshen says, he's not sure. But the nice is, we do have clear the following items that we did learn tonight. That when you are a shomer, when we accept upon ourselves to be a shomer sacher, we have two chiyuvim, like the Stipler said, and like the Sam Sofer and the Ketzos, the Chazanish, they all explain that we have a chiyuv, number one, to watch that item, to do the best we can to guard it. Number two, we have the responsibility to pay for it if anything happens. So those are the two chiyuvim we have. And even though we're allowed to quit in the middle of a job, and we could quit from being a shomer sacher, but we're going to be responsible if anything happens to it, the way the Shulchan Aruch passes. The Chazanish said it could be a sveik at the din of it. That would be chayiv. Then the other side of the coin, what is our pay based on? Which of those two chalokim is our pay based on? That was the machlokas. According to the Ketzos, our pay is based on the effort part we put out. If we did not put out the proper effort, and certainly if you didn't put out any effort, we don't get the pay. According to the Cheshek Shlomo and the Chazon Ish, our pay is based on our responsibility or our actual return of the item or its replacement value. And if we did that, even though we did not put out the proper effort, so then we will get our pay. If you did nothing at all, so I do hear the pashas, we could say the same, it will be the same achlokas, or maybe we could make that chiluk that we said, that if you didn't do anything at all, it could be you're not even in the parsha at all of getting any pay, and you will not get pay, even though you did return the object. Is that